Blessed be His name. Blessed be His name. Thank you, Lord God, for another chance to be in your house today and to feel your Spirit here with us. Oh, blessed be Him. Children, lift your voices to Him. Give Him worship your own way. Just love on Him. Say, Father, I don't come haphazard, but I come with a purpose. I come to worship You. I come to love You, Lord, and I come to hear Your voice speak to me. Lord, let my mind, my heart, my soul may not be distracted, but may I hear from You today, Lord. May it change my life for the better, Lord. May it lead me the way I ought to be going. Oh, blessed be His name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. It really pulled on my heart about, you know, we're bringing about the baby, Ellie's friend. And what really began to bother me is I began to think of, you know, here's a family wants their baby to live. Have a baby, wants to take care of it, wants to have a family. And to think of the millions that are killed on purpose. And when you begin to think of that, and it's don't give me any, I have no time for any justification for abortion at all. I have none. But we can't lose faith as dad. I know some people think, as dad was saying, that it's, you know, you're not understanding people's situations when you say, well, what if the baby does die? No, we have a hope, brother, sister. We have a hope. It's not disregarding that that's you think of losing a child. What could be a harder trial than that? Sure. Some of us in here know what that's like. But if you look, we should not sorrow as others who have no hope. We have a hope. Exactly. They're not dead. We'll see them again. Amen. That's right. And I think of this world in general. And we got to recognize God's still God. He is not getting pushed around by Satan. God has allowed this to happen. And where do we find consolation if we don't have faith in that? Where do you find any consolation if this is the only life? Then what? How do you find any consolation knowing that, like I said, a million or something babies a year in America die before they're born? Where do you find consolation? I was telling Dad the other day, I was like, I wonder if that's God's mercy so there'll actually be somebody in heaven coming out of this age. And that sounds terrible. It sounds awful if you're living for this life. But if you're living for the life to come, you say, Lord, thank You for Your mercy. Amen. Thank You for Your grace. And it looks terrible. It looks awful. But brother, sister, don't tell me that Satan is getting the advantage on God. God is allowing the devil to play right into what he wants to get done. Amen. Amen. And I've just got such a rock solid faith in His Word to know that nothing has happened out of cater when it looks like the world's falling apart. It looks like your world's falling apart. Don't tell me it is. It's not. Because God is God. Amen. He's got a purpose in everything. And for you to belittle your thoughts, to leave, you're actually leaving the mind of Christ to go to your own mind. And you'll drive yourself into depression. You'll drive yourself into defeat and it's just unbelief on every side. Brother, sister, if I have any voice, it's one thing. Put your whole confidence, all your faith in the Word of God, in Jesus Christ. It's the only thing going to get you out of Laodicea. Amen. Hallelujah. Just one little thing I'd like to, if you can get your Bibles and start turning, that we'll go to James chapter 4. About the going the trip to Auburn as a church, I'd like everyone to do it as you can, as you're able. And the figure for giving an offering, I want you to just give that to the offering if you want to do it. I'm going to just, when we actually do it, you're not going to pay for nothing. This is my choice. We're just going to have church take care of all of it. So if you wanted to keep track of yours, well, put an offering in. Okay? But I don't want, we're not, this is for the church. I want us to have a time of fellowship. I think it's good. I think it's good. And if you don't like coming together, there's something wrong. if you can't spend a few hours with people, how are you going to go to eternity with them? So I've seen that too many times in churches where we get little cliques and stuff, and these will do this, these will do that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe it's supposed to be that way. I think we should all be able to help fellowship with the other and love one another. And if we can't, it's not time to blame the pastor. It's not time to blame the church or the way things go. And they might have their factors in it, but when it's all done, it's your fault. That's right. Well, they don't never love me. I'm glad Jesus didn't worry about that when He loved me. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to get into it today. This is all leading into what I plan on speaking this afternoon. Another thing, we're going to go to fellowship. See, that's how much I believe in it, brother, sister. I got to drive 5 hours tonight, but I'm going to go eat with you all because I like y'all and I want to spend time with you because, and not just because I'm a pastor. I did it before. I mean, I don't know how many times I visited one direction and never came back the other way. And I ain't no pin on my shoulder or nothing. I'm just telling you the truth. I believe in what I'm saying. Enough to not just say it, but do it. So, amen. We're going to be leaving afterwards to go visit with Ellie's family this week and pray for us for safe travels and things. And Wednesday, Brother Alexander taking the service. A few Sundays from now, Brother John was here last week, and I asked him to if he was able to take a service. So he's going to be taking, I think it's 24th. That's right. So in a few weeks, that was just kind of impromptu, and I hope that's all right with everybody, but I like to hear what he's got to say. So, I appreciate the brother. I can tell he loves the Lord, so just have him speak for us then. I feel like there's one other thing, but that's okay. We're good on that. I'm ready to hear from the Lord today, hear from the Word. Are you expecting? Yes. Amen. God will speak to each one of us. James chapter 4. Let's go down to verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, tomorrow or today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Not just bad, it's evil. Amen. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's a term we use in the world. It's called a law-abiding citizen. But I like to say it for us here, the same concept but applied to us as Christians, word-abiding Christians. Word-abiding Christians. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. With every head bowed, and I trust your heart before Him, is there a need you'd like to lift up? You say, Father, you know what's behind my hand. And Lord, I want you to be glorified. God bless you, saints. He sees your hands. He knows your hearts. Come expecting, God will fulfill every need in this place. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering the saints once again in the house of God. And we thank you for the promises of God that you've given to us, Lord, on every side and every direction. In this end time, you've pulled back the seals on your word. You've shown us your love has been for all eternity to us, Lord. You never started loving us. You've always loved us, Lord. You've never forsaken us, and we're so grateful for that, Father. The world might go on and pretend to worship you, Lord, but may today in this place you find true worshipers that worship you in the spirit and in truth and know what you've done for them, and with a pure heart give praise unto your name. Have your way in this service, I ask. May your word come, heal every sickness, heal it. Hear every heart's desire, Lord, and may you have the full preeminence to do with us as you please. Make us what we ought to be, Lord, and may the enemy be defeated on every side. We commit this service into your hands. May you be glorified, Lord, in everything said or done. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Word-abiding Christians. You know, like I said, in the world, we've got law-abiding citizens. And a law-abiding citizen is someone who recognizes that, you know, they don't have total freedom to do every little thing that they would want to do, every little impulse that they might have. They've recognized that there's a law over top of them. And they've recognized that there's certain things that have been placed over top of them to keep them, and they're actually good for them. It's good to have restrictions. It won't be that way in heaven, brother, sister. Why? Because you won't have this body no more. You won't have sin. You won't have temptation. You won't have jealousy. And when you're pure word, you do whatever you want. And that's the same when we serve the Lord, brother, sister. If you've received the Holy Ghost, been born again in the Spirit of God, you ought to be doing everything you want to do.
Amen.
And still not sin. When you do sin, when you do make mistakes, you ought to hate that thing. You ought to get sick by it. And if it don't bother you, that shows you need to go back and get born again, because there's something wrong still there. You're still feeding on the things of the world. You're still the old nature. But when a man meets Christ, when a man's been filled with the Spirit of God and died to his old ways and been born again anew, his desires change. His love change. The Word doesn't become a restriction. It becomes the glory of God. It becomes the road into higher heights and deeper depths with God. Amen. Some people act like you're playing Deal or No Deal when it comes to serving the Lord. I mean, dude, do I gotta give this up and this up, and I can't have that no more. I can't just goof off on my games. I can't just do the things of the world and smoke and drink and cuss every once in a while if I get real mad. And what are you talking about? You're still too alive, brother, sister. You need to die. You need to get a tomb. You need to rot too. You need to bury that man and just let him rot. That means don't pay him no attention. Don't go try to raise him up. He's dead. Amen. Hallelujah. And a law-abiding citizen, I trust we are today, and even as Christians, we ought to be law-abiding citizens. But we need to recognize there still is only one lawgiver, and that's Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm going to get somewhere in a little bit here. He's the only one who can dictate what we really ought to do and what we not to. So if as long as the law don't contradict God's word, we ought to obey it with all that's in us. Some people think, well, it's not right that we have to pay taxes. And I would agree with you on a lot of that, because this nation was founded on getting away from taxes. Yet it seems like we've tied ourselves right back in. But if you look, Jesus was asked the question one time, should we pay tribute to Caesar? And he said, whose picture's on it? Caesar's. Then give to Caesar's what's Caesar's, and give to God's what's God's. That's right. So do we need to pay our tithes? Yes. Or you ought to pay your tithes too. The Lord gave you that one. That's right. Don't you skip your tithes. You pay it every time. And that ain't going to me, brother, sister. That's going to the Lord. And even if it was going to me, it's still going to the Lord. That's right. That's right, brother, sister. Man, I hope we loosen up, as Dad said earlier, because I'm about to show you here. A lot of people think that we're called to be judges, but we're not. We're not called to judge. We just read it there. You can't sidestep this and act like it's okay to go around and blast everybody for what they're doing wrong all the time. Now here's the other side of it. Some people believe that rebuking is judging. Let me say that again. A lot of people believe for you to rebuke sin is you are judging. And that's nothing further from the truth. A judge sits behind the desk and he pronounces judgment to where there's going to be recompense for what's said. We're not judges. We're preachers. What is that? We've got a microphone proclaiming what the law says about this. A law-abiding citizen ought to say, we should not do that because the law says it.
Right.
That don't make me a judge if you do it wrong now. I'm just a law-abiding citizen.
Right.
And Christians were word-abiding Christians. We stay under the Word. This is why Paul was trying to get almost every group he came to, the Galatians, the Hebrews, to get away from the idea of following the law and recognize we're supposed to be following the Word.
Amen.
The world will tell you that the law and the Word are the same thing, but they've missed the point. A law is just black and white letters. And you're either on one side or the other. You're either dead or alive. But Christ is the Word. He's a being. He's a human. That He was God when He became a human. That's the Word. It was God. And this person has feelings. This person does have emotions. This person's allowed to do as he pleases. Hallelujah. He won't contradict this Word. But aren't you glad that when it said the day you sin, that day you die? That he said, but I'll take that word upon myself. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So you don't have to have it. See, he could choose that. But if we're under the law, where are you going to go? You're guilty. And Jesus, they think Jesus, like the world, their perception of Jesus is so wrong. It's so skewed. It's this leftist idea. That's what it really is. That if you rebuke anything that's wrong, you're not being like Jesus. You're not loving. You're not caring. When there's nothing further from the truth. Anybody that writes a book or about child rearing that knows a lick about it knows you can't just give a kid everything he wants. You can't just tell a kid he's always right. You can't just let him think that they don't make no mistakes, that they never go the wrong way. No, you're constantly having to correct them. And for you to correct them is just a fruit of your love for the child, because you want them to do what's right. Not just even in itself, but because you can tell with foresight of God that later on, if they keep acting this way, it'll put them in a premature grave.
Sure.
Some of these people, You watch it, it just baffles my mind. I can say whatever I want, you gotta deal with it. I'm just who I am. You're gonna meet the wrong guy in the wrong alley sometime who don't want to hear what you got to say about it, and he's gonna put you in a grave. Amen. That's right. Now that's just the real world. You might live in fairyland where everybody just whatever, don't matter. But there's mean people out there possessed of the devil, and he's got one goal, and that's to kill you. And if he can get you under his influence, he'll get you to spout off something so you will die.
Yeah, right.
Hallelujah. No, rebuking, brother, sister, rebuking sin is not judging. That is what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. Noah was righteous, and the Bible is very particular to note. He was a preacher of righteousness.
Oh.
When we all think of Enoch, you think, oh, he walked with the Lord. And that means he was just off in a cave somewhere and just prayed all the time, didn't have no trials. He didn't raise his family, didn't have any job. He just went and walked with the Lord. But if you pick it up in the book of Job, you see what Enoch had to say about his generation. Actually, let's go there then. Book of Jude, actually. That's where it is, not Job. Book of Jude. I'll show you Enoch's sermon. It's right there before Revelations. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There in the book of Jude, verse 14. Here's what Enoch had to say. He said, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to come and have just lovely picnics and to tell everybody how great they are and to say, God loves you. Yeah, he loves you enough to tell you that your sin's going to kill you.
Amen.
Look what he's read. Look, just read it for yourself. To execute judgment. Oh my. Upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." This man was known to walk with God. He's the very type that you and I ought to be desiring, that one day I'm going to walk with God so close that I'll just go ahead and move right on out of this dimension and go to be with the Lord. That's the last victory that we're looking for, brother, sister, is that Satan's been defeated. He's been stripped. That's why we believe in divine healing. That's why we believe in deliverance. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But one day every power he has is stripped. And death is swallowed up in victory, to where we take this old carcass that we're living in, and by the faith that he's put in us, create it into a new body.
Amen.
Don't ask me how it is, but it's the word anyway, brother, sister.
Amen.
And we now don't get so lost in what's going to come and miss what's happening now. Because before Enoch got there, he had something to say about his generation.
Yes, he did.
And it was ungodly. They think ungodly. They do ungodly. Everything you're doing is wrong. Man, you're kind of mean, Enoch. No, I care about you enough to know that if I lie to you about your sin, you will die in them. That's not judging. That is rebuking. Because if a person, look, let me show you there. If you go to Acts 7, this is when Stephen was preaching to the Pharisees there. And he gets talking about Moses. Hallelujah. And just keep your Bibles handy. I got a lot of scriptures today. I want to make sure you understand that this is coming right out of the Word. Acts chapter 7 and verse 20. Excuse me. "At which time Moses was born, was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nursed him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, your brethren, why do you do wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us?
Oh my.
So here comes Moses. Now we'll get, I'm going to pick it up again later on. Here's Moses. We know Moses had a call of God in his life. We know that Moses was trained up in all the things of the world, but he had to come to the place where he had to denounce all that to actually be used of God. But this calling came upon him. And we know that gifts and callings are without repentance. So before Moses even was ready, the calling was still there. He was still to deliver. So it came upon his heart. I see my brethren are oppressed out there. And though I'm here in this system, I'm going to do what I can. That shows you how good a halfway effort will give you. Oh, I've seen people say, well, I'm not going to go to a message church because I believe I'm called to go to this church to shed light there. Some people misquote Brother Branham quite a bit, don't they? They said, no, sometimes God will put you there to shed some light, but come out of her, my people. Don't you get locked up in a cage when you're meant to fly the skies, brother, sister. I believe God places us in things for a season to shed light, but then there comes a time where it's time to get out. There comes a time where Noah built the ark for 120 years and there was opportunities for him to fellowship, but there was one day where it said, get in the ark, Noah.
Amen.
This is it. And that was it. And God has sent us a message to get in the ark and to stay away from that filth, brother, sister.
Amen.
But Moses, he was taught and all that, and he thought, my, I feel the call of God in my heart. I'm going to go avenge my brethren. Because what did it say? He thought his brethren understood the word. He thought they had a revelation that he had, but they didn't have anything.
Right.
What was he going to do? He wasn't going there to be a ruler or a judge. What was he going to do? To deliver them. He was tired of seeing them in bondage, so he was going to pull them out. Now, the first time, he was going to do it in military might. We know that what wasn't going to work. God used his supernatural power. Hallelujah. I love how the Bible is careful to note that when Jesus was casting out devils, he says, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, who do your children cast them out by? But when it came to when God delivered Israel, his people, when it came to saving mankind from his sin, he didn't use his finger. Instead, he used a mighty hand and a strong arm. Brother, sister, the devil's a little pipsqueak before God. It's our desire to run from God that's the hardest thing to overcome.
Amen.
Paul never gave the devil glory. You show me where he did. But there was one time he said, what wretched man that I am, that I look in the mirror and I'm the enemy that I hate.
Amen.
And it takes God's strong arm to deliver me, not from the devil, but from me. And I'm not saying that for as some, like I'm an angel or anything, brother, sister. I got a flesh just the same as you do. I already got plenty of mornings thinking, man, I wish I'd just go back to sleep. I wish the devil just leave me alone. I wish I didn't have all these trials on every side all the time. I wish I could just rest. And then what's the word of God come to us in this day? What does it tell us? That's what the millennium's for, getting to work.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you might not like that. I took a vacation, but I'll tell you what, you can't get the rest you're looking for unless you're in the Word.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. You could take a year off. You'll be just as stressed off if you're not in the Word.
Amen.
Devil don't let you rest. No, he don't. You look at these celebrities that have been dying off. What's the problem? They can't get no rest. They can't get peace. They're looking for it, and they've got all the money. They've got all the access to anything the world could give them, yet it doesn't work. It just goes to show. And brother, sister, you and I, the privileged people to know God in a personal way. We have a refuge that the world would sell everything for.
Amen.
Yeah, we just, maybe I'll pray today. I mean, we give our energies to our work. We give our energies to our homes. We give our energies to our lifestyles. Then when it comes to serving God, well, I'm just tired. I could really praise Him, but you know, I don't feel like it. That's the time to praise God, brother, sister. It's time. That's the whole overcoming. Your flesh says, don't do it. You say, I don't care, flesh. My soul wants to magnify God. So I'm going to do it anyways. The world will tell you. They'll say, that's manufacturing. That's you faking it. No, it ain't. You sitting there not praising God, you faking it because you're a son and daughter of God. You were made to praise the Lord. You were made to be victorious in Christ. You were made to be defeated. You've already been an overcomer.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So Moses comes with the revelation of God that he's come. He is rebuking them. How many caught that? He says, why are you doing evil to your brother? Your brethren, why? I think he'd say the same thing to us. I think James was saying the same thing his generation. We got to say the same thing now. Why are we so busy, worried about each other's little things and faults and failures that we do, and totally miss the whole purpose of the kingdom?
Yeah.
Go ahead, come on.
Sure.
That's the truth, brother and sister. Hallelujah. I'm going to get to it. That don't mean, as I said before, you just sidestep sin and say, oh, it's okay. No, you rebuke it.
Right.
But you're not the judge.
Yeah.
You're the preacher.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're the one that sends the letters. Because as we just read, there's one judge. There's one lawgiver. There's one. You're not a judge. You're a law-abiding citizen. You're a word-abiding Christian. You stay with the word and you proclaim, everyone else, come where I'm at.
Amen.
God help us, because maybe we don't got nowhere to take them to. I don't know if this is going to go over too well, but that's all right, brother, sister. Because the Word, I don't care if there's five people believe it. If I get them in the Word, I know they'll be okay. If they get out of the Word, there's no hope for you, brother, sister. There's nothing. There's nothing out there. We've all had the securities of this world at times in our lives. What do we find out? That none of it's got a foundation. It all falls apart. The first time you think you're finally financially secure, here it comes. Your AC breaks. Your car gets shot because you didn't give God time. See, God don't punish you, brother, sister, but He will chastise you. If you get distracted, how many's caught yourself that way? Realize you're getting distracted with things of the world and just being lazy, and all of a sudden something happens. And if you listen right away, it won't get too bad. But God don't let you become an illegitimate child. Can I use what the Bible said? A bastard son. You don't have no father. You have no mother. You're just a little renegade kid. In the Bible time, when it was actually written, you were done for almost. What were you going to do? If it was a miracle, you could read it. I think it was one of the judges. It was a miracle that the one son that was born out of wedlock was the one that God used for the promise. And why did God do that? To confound their wisdom.
Right.
Because normally that kid's done for. In this day, we can't hardly find a legitimate kid, much less an illegitimate.
Right.
It just showed you how bad the world's getting. And God knows how bad this is getting. And if you have a desire to fix it, you can't fix it politically. You're not going to fix it emotionally. You have to fix it by the Spirit of God. And that is getting souls back to the kingdom.
Amen.
Not investing in this life, but delivering them from this life to the life to come.
Amen.
You're not being a judge by telling them they're sinful, as long as your heart's right. Too many times, that's what I'm saying. People go to rebuke and they do it in such a way, they've already condemned the person to hell. They claim they're witnessing, but they believe that person's serpent seed. How can you witness to someone you believe is automatically condemned to die and go to hell? That's not witnessing. That's judging. Now, are there souls that have blasphemed the Holy Ghost that have no chance? Yes, there are. Now, it wasn't an every minute occurrence, as too many preachers I've seen want to make it. Oh, they said something bad about me, servant seed. They don't agree with everything I say, servant seed. Now, they won't say it out loud, but I watch them just write them off. And before you know it, guess who's the only one saved? Them. Whoo, glory. But God, look, God's prophet didn't come, even when he was backslid, doing the things that were wrong, still trusting in his own might. He still had the right desire. He didn't come to judge the Israelites. He came to bring them back where they ought to be. First, in love with one another, and second, out of Egypt. And he comes later on, as you could turn over, or at least a little bit later in there, go into verse 33. This is when Moses finally meets the Lord for his call. He says, "Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I've seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I've heard their groanings, and am come down to deliver them." I love how God does this. He says, "I know what my people is going through." Don't you believe the lie of the devil that he don't know what you're going through. When it doesn't seem like he's answering your prayers, don't never believe he doesn't know what you're going through. He knows everything that you're going through. Jesus was purposely tempted in all points like us, so we would be without excuse that our own God, he's not up there, but he came down and became us and felt our burden. He's a faithful high priest that knows what you're going through, and he knows how to have compassion on you. And he came down and he says, "I know what they're groaning for, and I'm coming to deliver them." So what did everyone envision? Here comes the pillar of fire, just going to come through, just going to pave a way right through Egypt, and they're going home. Many people thought that's what would happen in this day. That's how many people believe the rapture is going to happen, brother, sister. But God didn't do it that way. He sent a prophet. He sent a prophet with the word. He says, God says, "I'm delivering him, Moses, but I'm sending you." Keep reading. He says, I've seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I've heard their groanings and come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge?" The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. They thought a judge, but God thought a deliverer. They said, oh, you're going to rebuke us all the time? Moses rebuked them all the time. Until where he finally, when the Bible records that Moses was the meekest man, but this rebellious people drove the meekest man to lose his temper. Yeah. And he said, God told him, just speak to the rock, it'll bring forth. I'm sure they had him just all wound up all day. I'm sure the kids woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm sure the church was all starching on him and just didn't want to do nothing today. He said, you bunch of rebels! And he tried to become a judge. He said, must I fetch you water? And he hit the rock once. That wasn't what the Lord said. He said, speak to it. Right. Don't become a judge. Be a preacher. Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Waters didn't come. What happened? He says, I command you, waters, come forth. And God honored his prophet's word. Gifts and callings without repentance. No waters come. What happened? God said, you're not going no more. Think of this. A man talked to God face to face, endured so much hardship, but God did not excuse his unbelief. When you leave the gift of God, or the calling of God, God's had for you, it doesn't matter what excuses you lined up. There is no excuse in God. If God puts you there, it's because you can do it, brother, sister. And if God puts you in Laodicea, in the trials that you have, in the family you have, with the pastor that you got, you are able to overcome because He does not make mistakes. He knows what He's doing, brother, sister.
Amen.
And even, I love how the Lord, He can just channel your mistakes and just push them the right way. Glory to God. Here was, we just read Moses' mistake. He tried to do it in his own way. What did God do? He used that to teach him. Everything you learn in Egypt's not going to do this. I don't need one bit of your ability. I got this. All you need to do is say what I say. And as long as Moses said what God said, things went fine. They went the way they were supposed to. Sure, the people did what was wrong. How many knows? They were rebuked every other day, just about. But when Moses tried to take it upon himself to become their judge, he was kicked out of paradise for it. God does not call us to be judges. He calls us to preach His Word. Hallelujah. Let me read you where everybody wants to quote from Matthew 7. And if you know anything about people getting on you about being a Christian, you probably know what Matthew 7's got to say. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? What did Jesus say there? He says, why beholdest thou? What does that mean? He says, you're sitting there, you got a big old beam in your eye, and you're trying to look around it to look. Say, what's that brother? What? He goes out to eat on Sundays. I don't believe in that. That's just... Where's red? Who wears red? We're not supposed to be doing that. Some little doctrine to come up with. Let me bring it right down home. I'll read a scripture about it in a minute. They celebrate Christmas? Are you serious? Don't they know how pagan it is? They don't celebrate Christmas? What other holiday we got as Christians? What are you talking about? And some little moting things and just, what's he saying? You're sitting there focused on judging your brother's mote that you've ignored the beam in your own eye. He's saying, you're looking at it. You're just beholding it. Where does it show that this man actually wants to help his brother? Where does it show that he wants to get the mote out of the brother's eye? He doesn't have nothing to do with it. He's just beholding it. He's just saying, look at the sin that they're in. Ha ha. Look at that. Look at that poor excuse of a Christian. Look how good I am. Jesus said, why are you judging like that? He said, I've never called you to do anything like that. But when it comes to where he starts answering here in verse 4, he says, oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote from thy brother's eye. Then you can actually help the guy. That's why until the basis of why you live is the love of God, you're not serving the Lord.
Amen.
Is this too elementary? I don't know. Because this is where we miss it. This is where we think, you know, you get one or two camps. One is that we just sit back, we just look at everything that's going on, we don't say nothing about it because we don't want to make nobody mad. We want everyone to think that we're nice, lovey, hubby-dubby, we're just great Christians because we don't never say anything. If you don't want to offend anybody, that's a good way to do it. Just stay in a corner and don't say anything. If you want to abide by the law and never, you just go sit in a corner and make sure you don't do a thing. But that's not the way we're called to be.
Amen.
The other side is, if I see anything wrong, I just blast them in the ground until they're so far in hell, there ain't no redemption for them nowhere. And that's not the way to be either. What is it? Is, Lord, I want to see the souls of men free. I don't want to see my brother. Look, just imagine a blind man walking around, and you know the only reason he's blind is there's a mote in his eye. It's not because he couldn't be healed. It's that it needs to get out of his life. I watch people walk around blind because they just can't stop worshiping something they love. And for me to just sit back and say, oh, you're okay, brother, you're okay. He might fall into a ditch one day because I let him go on blind. But if I say, brother, just like Jesus did to the rich young ruler, that's a perfect example. Rich young ruler come, he asked Jesus, what can I do to get eternal life? He says, obey the commandments. He said, I've been a good law-abiding citizen. Despite to your neighbor, love your mother and father and love you. And he says, I've done all these things from my youth. What lack I yet? I don't have peace when I go to bed. I don't understand why I'm following the Word with all that I can, and I still don't feel saved. And then Jesus said, there's one little mote in your eye. Give up all your money, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure with me. Jesus was asking the rich young ruler to give up a whole lot more than what a lot of us have been asked to give up, yet we just hold right on to it. Oh, I can't actually give up my TV. What am I going to do? I can't give up my sports. What am I going to do? I can't give up my fashion. I can't do that. Somebody's going to think I'm all Mother Hubbard. I don't want to look like I'm 20 years older than what I am. Look, and we laugh. Why? Because how many times have you watched Satan tag on a thought like that? And before you know it, you're back out acting like the world again. Just drives you right on it. And if you just would have took care of it here, that mote never would have become a beam.
Right.
But usually by the time we figure it out, it's such a beam, we decide to get rid of it because we can't live with it no more. Would it be a lot better just to get rid of it before it even gets to that point, before we reap a whole whirlwind of things. When we just say, you know what? Lord, I see the mote in my eye. Thank you for my brother coming and telling me about it.
Amen.
Glory to God. And if we had enough honest people to actually rebuke in a way of love, we'd get a lot more done. And if we had a lot of people who cared more about serving the Lord than having their feelings hurt, we'd get a lot more done. And if you could pull this whole thing together, you'd have a body of Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God. Because the body of Christ is the Word, brother, sister.
Amen.
And the Word cuts, the Word tears off sin. The Word makes us what we ought to be, but it does it with the tender hand of love.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We're commanded to speak the truth in love. Speak it not to judge that person to hell, but to give them an opportunity to be saved.
Yes.
You could say the exact same thing, and in one way, actually be a real word-abiding Christian rebuking sin, or be over here being a legalist possessed of the devil. Say the exact same words, but it's the spirit behind it. That's why the word by itself will kill you. But if you get the right spirit, it'll take the word and give it the life that it's supposed to have. Glory to God. And if you look at the next verse here, he says, first cast out the beam so you can help your brother. And then he says, and I love how this is placed, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample you under their feet and turn again and rend you. What did Jesus, right there, he just perfectly balanced out what was said. If you just read the first five verses, it says, if anybody says that I'm doing anything wrong, I'll just tell them Jesus told them not to judge me. Don't judge me lest you be judged. Then he turns around and says, but if they won't receive your word, don't cast your pearls before swine. Recognize that if they won't receive the word themselves, they're nothing but a pig. This is the Jesus that is really from the Word. You preach the Word, but brother, sister, look, you're not called to judge them. Let it go if they don't receive it. You preach it, don't you bend on it. Don't you compromise. Don't you let them influence you to be like them. No, sir, you be like the Word on every corner, on every side. You kick the things of the world out. You don't care about their motives. You don't care about their agendas. You're interested in their soul. And say, Lord, if I could do something to help that And if I can't, so be it. I'm not leaving the Word. Brother Branham was dealt with a woman around time. He's a Catholic woman. Listen to this now. He says, is your life worthy of the gospel? He says, they can't understand how a simple message, a simple people, to reject a thing like that would cause them to go into chaos. Let me make sure you understand what he's saying. He's saying, a lot of times people can't understand that God would use something so simple, so easy to understand, and that for them to reject God's simple message would send them to chaos. But it's happened. It's happened in our nation, brother, sister. If you do any study of the history of America, you will see that this nation was on its incline all the time. God honored what the founding fathers tried to do to set up a nation based on Christian principle. Giving men freedom to choose as they want to. Giving them what we're saying here, rebuke but don't judge. That's right, brother, sister. If the man wants to be a Muslim, that's his free choice. But if he starts saying we ought to kill one another and that we should have Sharia law and women can't even talk to anybody, we say, no, we're sorry. We're gonna rebuke that away. Do you understand what we're trying to say today? We don't accept that. That's right. I don't believe that.
No, we don't.
But people don't see that God, they get an idol of it. And I'm gonna bring this to a close. Just stay with me now. They bring an idol of what God's movement looked like.
Oh yeah.
And then what usually happens if they're a child of God, God will send them somebody who was there. Yeah. And what will you tell them? What are you talking about? Oh, didn't you see when the pillar of fire moved? Man, that would have been so glorious. Oh, really? Really? Is that why people sit there and tried to curse the thing right in the face of it? That's why God recorded His prophet a few times for us to see, and I've said this before, how humble the moving of the Spirit really is.
Amen, amen.
We read the stories in the Bible, and if we're not careful, we'll make it into something it wasn't. When did Peter see a vision? One time, he was just laying on the housetop, just trying to relax for a little bit, and all of a sudden, he sees a vision. Carpet coming down, as we know, and opening up and up three times, and he had all kinds of unclean beasts that Jews weren't allowed to eat, you know, the law. But the Word came and says, don't call common what I make clean. And God used a man on top of a rooftop, just probably relaxing, just taking the afternoon off to get away for a little bit, maybe pray, and there come the vision that opened the door for the gospel to get to us today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, it's not what God uses, it's what God gets done. Amen. I don't care if I've just got an ox goat. If it'll kill 600 Philistines, give it to me. I don't care if it's just a jawbone of a mule sitting there on the ground. The thing ought to be so brittle, break in no time. But if the Spirit of God gets a hold of it and I can kill 1,000 Philistines, let's do it. And if God sent us the simple Kentuckian prophet with a message of God that comes and heals cancer, that raises the dead, that brings souls out of denominational death and brings them to life, I don't care where it came from. I want it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God sent His prophet Moses to these people, and that's exactly what they needed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know what? It got done, brother, sister. They got out of there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, well, only Joshua and Caleb made it. That wasn't Moses' fault, and that wasn't God's fault. It was their fault. But God's got that predestinated, brother, sister. And you stand there. I don't care if it looks like the whole movement falls apart. You stay right on it because it's the only thing going to make you through.
Yes.
How easy would it have been for Joshua and Caleb to say, there ain't no way we can be right. There ain't no way. There's only two of us. Even in the spies, there was 10 other spies, and then there was millions of people gathering around their idea.
Amen.
But they didn't trust in numbers. They trusted in the Word. And the Word said, we're more than able. I love how they say it. Not that the land's just given to us. No, we're more than able to take this. God, His Word's not just over there just going to do it, but He's equipped us with the Word.
Amen.
What's that trial? We're more than able. Why? Says Joshua, how strong are you? What are you talking about? I ain't worried about that. I'm worried about the God that's behind me.
Amen.
And it shows you what kind of faith he had, because even in the midst, I've preached on this, it's just such a glorious thought to me. Joshua met with the Gibeonites. How many knows the story? They came from a far country and they acted like they were all sick and all weary from traveling and everything else. And what did they come to do? They come to make peace with Israel because they were scared to death of them. And Joshua, he didn't consult with the Lord. He consulted with the people. And they thought, it's pretty reasonable. You know, this is a good story. Let's make a little treaty with them. And sure enough, they made an allegiance with them. Then they found out they're next door neighbors. But God, they had that was still God's prophet of the day, and His word was still honored. That's right. And in the midst of that mistake, the Gibeonites then start getting attacked. And what do they say? Hey, Israel, you made a league with us. I don't care if it was your mistake. You did it, boy. Come help us. And Joshua said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. We did do that. Let's go do it. And he's sitting there, and they're in the midst of the battle. And what happens? We're running out of time. And he said, you know what? He said, he could have been like most of us are and just reason about it and say, man, it's just the Lord's will for tomorrow. I'm just not supposed to get healed today. I'm just not supposed to get delivered. It's just as well. No, maybe it's your lack of faith. God's will is to heal. How many knows that? God's will for you to have joy and to have faith and to have peace. Don't tell me it's His will to make us miserable. Christ has done everything in His power to give you joy. And I'll show you that here in a minute. So Joshua, instead of taking his carnal mind, the inspiration of God came on from the commission that he had faith on years ago when he was the only one standing on it. Now his faith could demonstrate. And he said, sun, stand still. And moon, stand over the valley of Adullam. And the moon and the sun. And you don't ask me how to explain it. How does it all stop? How does it just sit there? If some people think, well, the sun stands still, the earth stands still, and you can fight all day. The point is, if the earth starts rotating, we would just imagine slamming the brakes on a car. That's what it's like. You're spinning around. Isn't that right? If the sun stops, what's going on? How's the whole universe out of cater? The difference, Joshua didn't worry about his textbook. He worried about the God that he knew made the universe.
Amen.
And he said, if he knew how to do it first time, he can stop it. That's okay. See, the inspiration came from the Lord. He just said it. Why? He wasn't just a law-abiding citizen. He was a word-abiding Christian. The Word sent us here, and we're here to defeat every enemy, and we're going to do whatever it takes. The Word told me to talk to the Son, so I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Let me find that scripture I was just talking about. All right, let's go to John 15. I might just skip through some of this. John 15. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, abide ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you. Why did Christ tell us this? That your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Amen. Oh, but it's just so hard to stay with the Word. It's just so much work. I gotta fight off so much. Yet Christ is saying, for you to have the joy, the real joy of the Lord, joy that abides, you need to stay in my presence. You need to follow my word. You need to be a word abiding Christian. And for you to take thoughts off, I know that you think it's going to be easier. But I know the devil's out there.
Amen.
And for you to leave the word, you're not going to have joy.
Right.
You're not going to have the joy I give because it will run out. Oh, the pleasures of sin are so short, brother, sister. Don't let the devil lie to you that there's something good out there. Hallelujah. It looked easy for those bunch of Israelites to complain and say it's too hard to fight those battles. I just want to lay down and just let God take care of it.
God didn't call them to that. God told them to take up arms and go fight those battles.
Amen.
Amen. And when they thought that they were just being comfortable and easy, what happened? They all perished.
Amen.
They all died. They all brought more trials on them than God ever wanted to give them. They got led to some bitter waters. What did they do? They started whining about it. When if they just would have sought the Lord, He would have gave them fresh. They got a little hungry, or they got kind of tired eating the same thing all the time. And instead of asking God, they started moaning and complaining about it. And God gave them what they wanted, and then they started dying. How many's found that out real quick? That if you don't abide in the Word, you'll start to desire things you think you want. And then you get them. And you recognize, I didn't want this. Our whole nation has figured that out, brother, sister. They voted in something they thought they wanted. They've been voting in this ideology for years and years. This whole, and we're all entitled to do whatever we want and to be free to do every choice we have. And now we got a whole generation that you can't correct them. You can't tell them they're wrong. They're entitled to what they know. You're not. You ain't entitled to nothing. That's right. You're not even entitled to your life. It's the grace of God you're alive.
Amen.
Amen. It's the grace of God you got parents.
That's right.
Oh my, I can't. This generation. Look, I'm part of it. Can I say? I'm not that old. I'm not even 30 years old yet. And yet I can tell how fast this whole idea of where we're supposed to, what we're supposed to be as human beings is totally deteriorated.
Yes.
It's the most selfish, self-centered stuff in the world. And it's driving people to depression thinking it's going to make them happy. People think, well, if I get 1,000 likes on my thing, I'll be happy. Really? You got 1,000 likes and no friends. I'd rather have one real person than 10,000 internet friends.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And don't you young people get tied up into that. I'm telling you, they're not your friends. Back in the day, we learned it this way. As long as you had money, they'd stick around. The second you didn't have it, they were gone. Now it's as long as you give them attention, they'll keep you around. But the second you start wanting attention back, they're gone. And God forbid you marry into something like that. Whew. Mercy. Abide in the Word, brother, sister. I've seen too many young people get to the point where, well, there's just no one to marry in the church no more. I gotta go out there and find. No, no. And anybody that's been down that train wreck will tell you that's where it's headed. Don't go that way. You wait for the Lord, and God will bring a Rebecca from who knows where, send a servant out there to go get her, drag her all the way from across the world to come meet you. Unless you believe you should marry 10 people, I'm glad with one wife. Praise the Lord for one. That's the way I believe God made it. I don't want 2, 3, 4. Mercy, goodness. No, sir. But hallelujah. I want to be a word abiding Christian, brother, sister. I don't got time to waste just judging people and be concerned of trying to send people to hell. That ain't why God sent His Word. And as long as we believe that's why the message came, we will continue to bring forth cult fruit. Can I say that again? As long as we believe God has sent us to just destroy everyone to hell and just tell them how bad they are without a heart to try to help them, we've missed the entire picture of God. Hallelujah. And we shouldn't, I could read a few more scriptures on it, but I'll just paraphrase. What should give us consolation is that, look, brother, sister, this whole world, the whole history, everything that's ever happened is coming to the judgment. There's nothing going to be hid. And what that ought to do to you and I is say, God, have mercy. He knows everything I've done. Everything. Yet He accepted me? Oh, my. You mean, and then when you begin to think of that person, not in as the devil that's on them. That devil's going to hell. How many knows that? There's no redemption for him. But that spirit, that evil spirit has got on someone. And instead of identifying the person with the spirit, identify what's happened to that person. That person, look how warped your mind can get. Like we just said, a woman thinks, oh, I'm trying to take care of my body and stuff. And I didn't mean to get pregnant and I've got this baby and I just need to get rid of it for my own health. It sounds so honorable, but it just shows you how deluded your mind can become when you're over a demon spirit.
Right.
Hallelujah. What should you do for a woman that's had one? Should you just run her in the ground, tell her how terrible she is? Or should you say a path back to life?
Yes. Amen.
Give consolation. I believe babies go to heaven, brother, sister.
Yes.
I believe that with all my heart. Some people say, well, they're on the Lamb's Book of Life or not. And Brother Branham says the same thing. But he also said, after he said that, I believe babies go to heaven. Because I believe God in His foreknowledge knew that they would die before they could be born and they'd be there.
Amen.
Hallelujah! It's God's mercy. I thank Him for it. Let's abide in His Word with all our hearts. Is that your desire, brother, sister?
Amen.
What did God send you to be? He sent you not to be a fire to destroy souls, but to be a light. See, there's a whole lot of difference between a fire and a light. They're made out of the same things. You could use them for the same stuff. But if you use a light to guide someone, to tell them where to go. You could use the same thing and blow them up. God, make us the light of the world. Make us the salt of the world to help a soul, to bring them. Lord, let me be a word-abiding Christian. Let me stop believing the devil's lie that the reason I'm miserable is because I'm trying to serve the Lord. The reason I'm miserable is because I'm fighting so many things in the world. And it'd be a lot easier just to give in. No, let me rest in what Jesus told me. That if I abide in His love, which is to obey His word, don't act like I'm compromising this at all. I'm not. You ought to be a straight and narrow a Christian, and as Christians have been in any day. We have to be more on our guard this day than ever because Satan's got so many outlets. And if it's the internet, brother, sister, that's the one vehicle that is destroying the world. What a great idea it looked like. Free information, getting around. But when the devil gets a hold of it, what information you get? As I said, they act like they want you to have free speech, but it's not true. Because the second you say something they don't want to hear, it's off. How many conservatism in itself, much less Christianity, because conservatism is not equal to Christianity, okay? Just in case you thought that's true, it's not at all. I would say they've got a lot more principles than the liberals of this day do, but it's still all rotten to the core. The motive's all wrong. But the point is, even conservative ideas about race, like let's get rid of it, let's just treat everybody like humans. Do you know the liberals won't let you think that way? They make you think white cops hate black people. Come on. Some of you might believe that. I don't know. But they force it on you when really, we're all humans. I don't, they try to do it in education. I just heard about a meeting. Is this okay? Can I go a little? You okay? All right. Praise the Lord. A meeting of some of the elementary teachers. I heard it because the high school teacher is married to one of them, or middle school, one of the two. But either way, they had somebody from the state come down, and she's having this meeting with the teacher saying, now, when you see a black kid, you know, you kind of treat him different than the white kids. And our teachers looked at each other like, no, we don't. She's like, oh, come on. You know, you think differently about him. I'm like, no, we don't. We base a kid on his actions, on his character, not on the skin of his, or color of his skin. And brother, how much more the Christian? I don't care. Look, here's the thing. I don't care how you worship. My thing is, worship. I don't care how you serve the Lord, as long as you're in the Word. Now, don't tell me you're serving the Lord outside of it. You're not. But as long as how you serve the Lord, what God's called you to do, just do it. I don't judge you on base where you used to go to church. Where do you go to church now? Or do you go to church here? You go to church somewhere else? You all know I've never gone down that road. I don't believe in that one bit.
Right.
But if the church ain't preaching the word, you need to leave. You got to go where the truth is. That's right. That's what I was going to read. Can I finish on that quote? Brother Brand was talking to that Catholic woman. And this is, I hope this ties it all together for us today. And a Catholic woman came and she says, a woman said to me, Grants Pass, Oregon, some time ago, Catholic girl come out there to condemn and write up. She was a newspaper reporter, pack of cigarettes in her hands, and she said, I want to talk to you. I said, what is it you want to say? She said, I want to ask you some questions about this religion of yours. And I said, what do you want to ask? She said, by what authority do you do this? I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, by divine call. And she went ahead smarting off. And I said, just a minute. She said, if I had to associate with that bunch of ignoramuses up there, she said, I wouldn't even want to be a Christian. She said, and if them they say that them people will rule the earth someday, she said, I hope I'm not there. I said, don't worry, you won't be. See, some people say he's judging her. No, that was out of her own mouth.
Right.
He's rebuking what she's saying. That, yeah, as long as you believe that you think these people are trash and everything else when they're trying to obey the word, you don't have to worry about going to heaven because heaven is made of the word.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let me keep reading. I hope I'm not there. He said, don't worry, you won't be. I said, you won't have to worry about that. Why? She said, all that carrying on and screaming. I said, and you claim to be a Catholic? She said, I am. I said, do you know that the Blessed Virgin Mary had to receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and dance in the Spirit in the same way they did before God would receive her? You call her the Mother of God. She said, that's nonsense. I said, just a minute. I'm not supposed to look in the Bible. I said, then how are you going to know what's truth or not? She said, I take my church's word. I said, this is God's word. Here it is right there. I challenge you to look at it. And Mary was up there in the upper room and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost like the rest of them did. And you call her the Mother of God. I said, then call that bunch of trash backwash? I said, don't worry, you won't be there. You don't have much to worry about if that's all you got to worry about. You better worry about your own sinful soul, girl. And I let her go. See, he didn't say, you're going to hell. He's saying, as long as you keep believing what you're saying you do, you will go to hell. And you need to quit worrying about getting on these people that you think are ignoramuses when the Word just told you that you're totally wrong. You claim to be Catholic, and as many Catholics do, anybody that's been to a Catholic service knows that ain't nothing like it was on the day of Pentecost. Yet the one that they claim, and we all know they pray to Mary more, they worship Mary more than any part of what they call the Trinity. They give Mary, I've seen a Catholic book, it said prayers to Mary. It was four times longer than prayers of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's right. And yet, when their own testimony comes back from the Word of what Mary did, they refuse it. Why? Because they're believing a lie and they'll be condemned by it. How the prophet, I just love his example. I don't worship the man, but what an example in this day for us, brother, sister, of how to love people yet not compromise with their sin. He said, there's plenty of women here that chops their hair off and things like that support my meetings. He said, do you think I say this to hurt people that are helping us even have this service? He said, no, but I'm obligated to God to tell you what the Word says about it. He said, he'd have women preachers support his meetings. How many knows that? And he'd get up and still say, that's not according to the Word. Hallelujah. There's other times they invite him up, as I've quoted many times, and they've said, here comes our brother, and when he comes up and preaches and things, you know, don't really listen to that, because until the anointing comes, he's not really inspired. And Brother Branham, he had the discernment in the office. I remember him talking about it, that he knew what they said, and he'd come out there and he said, God bless your friends and things like that. And then he began to say things that there was no way he would have known about had he not been out there. And somebody thought that they thought Billy Paul went back and told him what he said. And he said, I never talked to him. He said, you're not dealing with a man. You're dealing with God. And when a Christian abides in the Word, brother, sister, with the right spirit, it's no longer you anyways. How can you judge? It's not you doing it. It's the Lord doing it. That's what God has called us to be so lost from our own thinking that you don't even got time to judge because the Lord is living through you. And if He wants to judge it right then, He can. Oh my, I'm trying to wrap it up, but there was a time when Peter, as we know, they were bringing an offering to the Lord. That day, it wasn't socialism, as the world will tell you, but people gave out of a cheerful heart. They wanted to give it to the mission. So they came and they gave it to the apostles, and the apostles took it, and they gave to this one, Adonai, this one, and this one, and spread the word out that way. Then there came a man named Ananias, who had schemed up, for whatever reason, to sell his land for more than what he gave. And to make sure he looked good in front of the fellows, they said, he came up and said, yeah, I've sold this land and things, and here's the money for it. He said, and Peter just asked him, how much did you sell it for? He said, such and such. He said, what has the devil done to you to make you lie to the Holy Ghost? Why did he lie? Because it wasn't that he felt like he needed more money. It was that he had a pride about looking good. And he thought he could look better before a man of God. A man of God don't care how much money you put on the table. If your heart's not in it, forget it. That's right. If you're giving it because you want to do something nice for me, stop. That ain't why you give your money. That ain't why you give your time. That ain't why you give your effort. If you come to try to make Brother Andrew feel good, you've come for the wrong reason. You come for the Holy Ghost. Don't come lying to the Holy Ghost as he did. What did he say? What does Satan put in your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You're going to die right here. Drop dead. Think, man, what a foolish thing. But look, there come his wife. In on the scheme, wasn't she? Come in there and said, how much did you sell it for? Hoping that this woman might have a little bit more sense than her husband did. And she said, such and such. He said, What are you doing? Why would you do this? Do you think Peter wanted them dead? Do you think the Lord wanted them dead? But you don't lie to God and get away with it. And if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we'd all die. Hallelujah. The predestination of God is the only reason you're sitting here today, brother, sister.
Amen.
It's because God chose you. Then if God would love us so much, why would we ever leave Him? Amen. Stay in the Word, brother, sister.
Amen.
Jesus thought more of a little widow woman with some pennies in her pocket and put them in the offering because she did it with all her heart. Said that was all her living. Jesus didn't even stop her. Why? Because He knew, I'll bless her so much she ain't got to worry about that. Hallelujah. Don't you get faithless. If God tells you to give your last dime, give it. Amen. Watch it rain down. Maybe not even in money, but you'll finally get the deliverance you were looking for.
Amen.
You might not have that physical pain no more. Maybe you'll actually have joy and a little smile in your step once in a while.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is that how much money would you give to have joy? We say, oh yeah, I'd give everything, but then you won't. She won't pay your tithes. You won't help somebody. You just lying to yourself. But see, hallelujah, I'm trying to wrap this up, brother, sister. But if we'll just abide by that word, I'm telling you, as any voice that's in me that's left, if you stay with the word, what Jesus said is true. You have joy. You have a joy the world don't even understand, and it just stays a bubbling full. The only time you lose it is when you leave the word. God, let us be word-abiding Christians today. Let's stand before the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise His name today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you don't know it, Psalm 194, Jesus breaks every fetter. I just want to sing the chorus. Hallelujah. I think it says G here.
Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks sets me free.
Oh, believe it with all your heart. Sing it with all your soul.
Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks.
Christian. Hallelujah. Come to that word today.
Jesus breaks every fetter. And for He sets me free.
Sing it again today. Hallelujah.
Jesus breaks every us praise.
Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed, in the presence of God, we've heard the word go forth today. What God's spoken to us. And I say us because I say the same. Lord, have mercy on me. Spending time in things outside the Word. Listen to things outside the Word, worried about this world, forgetting of the world to come. Say, Lord, have mercy. Too concerned about somebody else's sin to even recognize what I've been doing wrong. Getting to where I get upset and in my heart I'm condemning them instead of being where I ought to be. Where, Lord, I know it's wrong, but Father, I pray for them that you'll bring them to deliverance. Is there anyone else? Say, Lord, that's me. And I'm sorry, Lord. I just need a refilling of my joy, refilling of the love of God. And I'm raising my hands in surrender, Lord, that I've had the wrong thought, but Lord, I'm coming to the Word. I'm coming back to abide in the Word and away from what I think about it. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. The Lord, hear your prayers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you and thank you, Lord. Is there anyone here who would say, Father, I want to know you. I want to know you in a personal way. I want to know you to where when I go home, I can talk to you and I hear you talk back. Because Lord, I know according to your word, you're always talking to me. But Lord, it's me. I've clogged up my ears. I've listened to other voices and I'm missing it. But Lord, I come saying, Father, forgive me. Let me have that personal relationship. That's the real Spirit of God. When it gets in you, you have that relationship where anywhere you go, you can talk to Him. He will talk back. It'll be right there. God bless you, saints. Let the Holy Ghost continue to deliver you. Bring you back to where you ought to be. Bring you, put your feet on solid rock and just bury your roots deep down into the rock of ages. To where when the world comes to blow you off, it can't move you nowhere. Young folks, don't get that attitude that you're right. You're not right. I'm not right. The Word's right. Don't go on without the Holy Ghost, trusting in someone else and say, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me you can't receive it. I don't care if you're 5 years old. I know a pastor got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ at 6 years old. He didn't even get rebaptized later again because he got it. Hallelujah. And I've seen people get baptized up or get even baptized again at 80 something years old and get the Holy Ghost. It don't have nothing to do with how old you are. It has to do with where your heart is. Don't fake it. Say, Lord, I want to be a real Christian. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I want to know what it's like. And I trust some, if you've received the Holy Ghost, you know what it's like to be led up by the Spirit. But don't get dull now. Don't get to where you go a day without hearing His voice. Brother, sister, God have mercy on us. We don't forget what you used to be like when you walked your own way. It was a train wreck on every side. It was just defeat. Say, Lord, let me never take a step without you being there with me. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you, saints. If anyone just wants a refill in the Holy Ghost, would you just raise your hands and say, Father, refresh my heart with your presence. Drive out every love of anything else. May your mighty hand of deliverance bring me back to where I ought to be in Christ. Lord, may our eyes be set on high. Lord, may we look to where we came from, Lord, and where we're going back to. I pray for this group of people in the name of Jesus Christ, that each one would have that peace, would have that joy, would have that sealing of your Spirit in their heart, to where no matter what devil might come, there'd be power to overcome it. Grant it to each one here, Lord. We set our eyes to the resurrection. We say it to the rapture of the church, that, Lord, that's our goal. That's what we desire, is to be with you, Lord. And as long as we're here, may we abide in that word. May we pray for our lost brothers and sisters. May we pray for those souls that we come in contact to. May we not have eyes that they're already lost and there's no hope. But may we recognize that you've sent us there to rebuke their sin, but not to kill them, but to be a deliverer. To come as Moses, telling them that they've been wrong, but God has come to set them free. Grant to each one that's here today. You've given us such a message, such a power has been unlocked to us. May us not be doty about it. May we not just put it on the shelf and never even give it attention. But may the word that you've given us in this day, may it become reality to everyone that's here. That this is truly Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Grant to each Christian today, I pray. Every way in every life, I commit it to you, Lord. You're the one who can do all things well. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you don't know it, 693. The more that I surrender the lighter my load, the more I release my cares, the more you take control.
The more that I surrender the lighter my load, the more that I release my cares, the more you take control.
Oh, hallelujah, grant it, Lord.
And the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up, and every day I live, Lord, I love.
Oh, is that your prayer? Is that your declaration? Lord, that's me, Father. Hallelujah.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load, the more that I release my care, the more you take control, and the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. And every day,
glory to God.
Lord, I love you more.
As we sing it again, if there's a need, would you come forward today? God bless you, saints.
The more that
just surrender to Him. Hallelujah.
The lighter my load, the more.
Just release it now. Give it to Him.
The more you take,
say, Lord, have your way in my heart.
The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. And every day I live, Lord, I love.
Oh, make it more than a song. Make it a declaration from your heart. Lord, I surrender all to you.
The more that I
God bless
you. The lighter my load, the more that I release my snares, the more you take control.
Jesus, I pray for God. Better. Courage is faithful and believing in all of us. In Jesus Christ. Jesus, I lay hands on my brother. You said if we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. May the stomach get well again, Lord, according to your glory and your praise. According to your word now we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Be well. Lord, thank you for him. He's such a blessing to us. Thank you for his life. Use him for your glory, Lord. May we raise him the right way. May the Holy Ghost get a hold of his life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Fetters according to your word, Lord, the fetters of selfishness, and Lord, make him what he ought to be. May the love of God be shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. May it just begin to flow out, Lord, and may continue to yield to it. Give my brother strength to resist the temptations of the enemy, to resist knowing that the fruit of it's going to be death. Lord, may he go the path of life. It might be hard, Lord, but may you give him strength. Grant it, Lord, we pray. I agree with his faith now. Hear his prayer in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, just seek him with all your heart. Give him praise, brother, sister. Thank you, Lord.
The light.
Thank you, Jesus.
My Lord.
Lord, oh, glory to God.
That I release my care, the more you take control. The more you lift me up, and every day I lay, Lord, I love you.
Oh, without any music, let's sing one more time. Let's lift our hearts to him now. Give him praise.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load, the more that I release my cares, the more you take control, the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. And every day I live, Lord, I love you more.
Oh, children, just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord. Thank you for your word.
Oh, Father,
thank
Lord,
you for the
let
truth,
me get away
Lord.
From
and may it just mold me. Make me just like you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, for you.
Thank you for your mercy and grace in my life.
In
thank you
Christ,
for your love.
Lord.
Have
Lord,
patience with me. May that patience
with
come
all my mind,
us.
With all my soul.
May we
Lord.
Find those souls,
Lord,
Lord, Lord desire
and
you
get in the way.
Bring them to the kingdom.
Father, Lord,
grant
use
to
me
us,
to
Lord,
your perfect
Jesus.
Will,
take
Lord
this
Jesus,
vessel.
That I might
be glorified
be my
in it, Lord. I pray for these, this church, each heart.
You.
May they find
glory,
their place
Lord,
in
like
Christ
and
abide there
the world,
and receive the joy and the peace
God,
that they ought to
love
have.
Almighty
grant
God,
it, Lord, be
glorified.
Heal any sickness in this
Lord
place
Jesus,
in Jesus'
with all my heart,
name.
Lord.
We praise you, Lord.
Praise
we lift you up.
Jesus.
Give you
praise
glory to your
name.
Name. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank
blessed
you, Lord.
Father.
Thank you,
blessed
Lord.
Blessed be your name. Glory,
hallelujah.
Blessings and honor unto you, O great
oh,
King.
Oh, hallelujah.
My Savior, my Lord, my Redeemer, my Father.
Oh, blessing
me. How I
name.
Praise you and worship
we
you,
worship
Lord
you,
Jesus,
Father.
With all my heart,
thank you
soul,
for
mind,
everything,
and body.
Lord. You're
Lord,
so
I'm
good, Lord.
Towards the mark of the
you're
high
so
calling.
Faithful, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, not looking to the left
praise
or to the
your
right,
holy name.
But giving
praise
you everything,
name.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
thank
Father,
you,
I'm
Jesus.
On my
thank
way
you,
to the kingdom.
Blessed
I'm on my
be his
way
name.
To heaven.
Oh,
I'm on my
brother
way
and
back
sister,
home,
oh, isn't
Lord
he wonderful?
Jesus.
Isn't
I
he glorious?
You and worship you with all my heart.
Don't let the devil
glory
tell you it's a burden to
name,
serve
Lord
the Lord.
Jesus.
It's the most glorious
I
thing we were given.
You, I praise you. I praise
God
you.
God has shined forth the light of the gospel.
Jesus.
The light of the good news, and we've been able to see it, us privileged people. Hallelujah. Let's walk in it with all our hearts. Let's give it all of our lives. Hallelujah. Give me enough, Dad. Give me enough. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
We'll walk in the light. Such a beautiful light. Oh, come with us. 42.
Of mercy, abrasion, shine,
oh, grant it, Lord, hallelujah.
by day and by night. It's Jesus, the light.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah.
Oh, we're walking the light.
Oh, such a beautiful light.
Oh, come with the new drops of mercy.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes, shine all around us. By day and by night, oh Jesus, the light of the world.
Oh, one more time with all your heart. Praise you, Lord.
We're walking the light, such a beautiful light. Oh, comes with a drops of mercy are bright. Oh, shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, the light of the world.
Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 139, if you don't know it, but He abides, He abides.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Jesus. If we're going to walk in that light, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ forgives all our sins. Glory to God. And I'm so happy that He abides, brother. Let's give Him praises. We get ready to leave here today. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss,
yes,
the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Yes, Lord, praise His name. Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. Believe it with all your heart. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin.
Once my heart was full of sin. Once I had no peace within. Till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet. And there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides.
Oh, believe it with all your heart.
Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides.
I just want to sing the chorus, sing the chorus.
Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me.
Hallelujah, He abides.
Oh, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me.
Sing it again, believe it now.
He abides.
Thank you, Lord.
He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me.
Give me a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for abiding, Lord.